Good evening to you all. It's good to be here in the house of God, and we greet you in the precious name of Jesus. We are blessed with safety on road today, and good to be here. And so we are looking forward to Brother Sim getting some help, and not because we want to see him move on, because the clock says, the calendar says, or the all says that it is time to at least have some help. And the sermon tonight is taken from Exodus in the fourth chapter, the third and fourth chapter, and the title of it is Send Someone Else. Send Someone Else. I'd like to just briefly, I'm not sure what to read and what not to read in these chapters, but here in chapter 3, in verse 1, it says that Moses kept the flock of Jethro's father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And then we know the story that angel of the Lord appeared to him, and there was this burning bush. There was this burning bush, and Moses said, "Well, what's going on? He said, "I'm going to step aside and I'm going to look and see why this bush is burning. Why the bush is not burned up," and it kept burning without being burned up. And then he went over there and looked at it, and God called him out of the midst, verse 4, out of the midst of the bush, and said, "Moses, Moses, here am I." And Moses said, "Here am I." And God said, "Then take off your shoes, for this is holy ground." And he says in verse 6, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses, he hid his face and he was afraid to look upon God. And then God went on and said, "I have seen the affliction of the children of Israel, and I'm going to deliver them out of the hands of Egypt, and I am come down now," verse 8, "to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and take them up to Canaan." And he said, "Now therefore, behold the cry of the," verse 9 says, "Behold the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come," verse 10 says, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh." That would startle anybody. To go to Pharaoh, the Egyptian commander-in-chief, and he ruled a very prosperous nation, and he said, "I'm going to send you to do that." You're going to go to Pharaoh. And then in verse 11, Moses said, God, who am I? Who am I?" And, I think all of us that have been ordained understand that phrase. Like, I can remember when I was in the lot, Harry pulled the lot out and he held it up and he said, "Joe Weaver." And I couldn't help but think, who am I? just an old dairy farmer, and who am I? And then we go that Moses said that, and he said that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt, God was going to do that. Verse 12 then says, certainly I will be with thee. Now that phrase is significant. We'll probably come back to that later. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, and ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? You know, the Egyptians had many gods. And so I think that they were thinking like an Egyptian, you know, what's your God's name? Is it the God of the Nile River or whatever they call those names? And what's your God's name? And, you know, that is the question tonight. What's your God's name? And then it said, God said unto Moses, you tell them that I am that I am. I am that I am. Not I was, not I will be, but I am, present tense, that I am. I will always be I am. And what a blessing that is, that we have a God that is I am. That is forever present. He is the one that's going to help us. And, you know, more on that later. And God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This shall be my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and Jacob appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and that seen what is done to you in Egypt, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites, and so on, into a land that floweth with milk and honey. And thou shalt hearken to thy voice, and they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt, now get this, Moses said, God told Moses, that I'm going to deliver them at your hand. He had just told him that. And then he says this, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, nor by a mighty hand. I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I shall do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will go with you. And I will give this people favor in thy sight of the Egyptians, and ye shall come to the pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of their neighbor and her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Moving on into chapter 4, and Moses said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto me my voice, for they will not say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said, Moses, I can just hear him saying that, what is in thine hand? And he looked at this common thing that he had 40 years of chasing sheep in the wilderness, and he said, what's in your hand? And he said, a rod. And so just a little piece of wood. So I think we'll jump over to our text now. And I think we know the story of Moses and all that. And we want to look at the excuses Moses had. as we go through this sermon tonight. But I want to look at some things before. And verse 13 is our text. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him that thou wilt send. Moses was at the end of all these excuses, and here is his last one. O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him that thou wilt send. Now tonight I see that Moses is like a lot of us. Moses is like a lot of us. He says, yeah, I believe in lordship. I believe in a cause. I believe that you need to send somebody, but not me. That's what it says. A lot of versions say, just, you know, send. And they said, oh, my Lord. And he said, oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him thou wilt send. In other words, send someone else. That's a desperate plea of Moses. So tonight, I think you, brethren, or maybe might be here, that are eligible for the bishop office, and you're saying, you know, why not send someone else? Why not give it to someone else? Why, you know? But tonight, we as Christians, like Moses, number one, we believe in lip service. We have a lip service lordship. We believe in the cause without commitment. We believe in a cause, but, you know, if it's us that have to commit to it, that's different. And we believe in appointment without God being sovereign, without sovereignty. So those three points tonight will be my outline for tonight. It will be lip service lordship, cause without commitment, and appointment without sovereignty. Oh my Lord, lip service lordship. Moses believed in it. Lord, master, slave, owner, the one who has sovereign control of the events of life. Oh, my Lord. Moses knew the words. Like so many people sitting in our pews, they believe in lordship. You go up and down the pews, and you believe in the lordship of Jesus Christ and lordship of God, and I believe you get 100%. You get 100%, right? We'd agree with that. But you know, to make it practical, we say we believe in the church, but not me as bishop. We believe in the church, but, you know, not me. And the fact is that God uses men to lead his people. And he sovereignly chooses men that wear blue jeans and caps and plant soybeans and plum and those kind of things. He uses common men. Lord, oh my Lord. We, you know, there's two things. You can either choose to be, let God be sovereign, or we can choose to be sovereign over our own lives. That's the two choices you have. There's nothing in between. It's one or the other. It's to let God be Lord or you be Lord. You know, you know, making it more practical, like, we believe in this Christian school, but, yeah, I'm not teaching. I believe in the Christian school, but I'm not teaching. Nor, you know, it's a real stretch if I want to serve on the school board. But we believe I'm really just not qualified. Well, you know your situation better than a lot of people do. But I believe in outreach. But, you know, at our church we had an outreach a couple years ago, and we had 11 families that were willing to go. They said they were willing to go for the outreach. And, we thought we were in pretty good shape. We had taught our people right, and they want us to support outreach. You know how many families we had when push came to shove? We had six. And so we had to do some shoving to get that quota filled. But, you know, we want to be sovereign over our own life. No one else is in control of my life. No one else is in control of my life. And I want to tell you two principles about the sovereignty of God that is for everybody here tonight. It'll make your life better, and I promise you it will. It's guaranteed if you follow this. Let's turn to Genesis. Genesis 50 and verse 19 and 20. It's scriptures that we read all the time, and it's talking about Joseph. And Joseph said unto them, this is Joseph talking to his brothers after they had come to their end of the life and dad had died. And he said, peradventure, Joseph is going to take advantage of us now. And they came in fear and trembling before Joseph. And Joseph looked down at his brothers and he said, you know, they presented the question, you're going to take advantage of us now. And, Joseph said, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Fear not, for am I in the place of God? You know, he saw God as being, what did he think? He said, God, am I in the place of God? So the take-home message for you tonight and to remember is that God is in control. Remember that. Regardless of what happens this week or this next few days over the ordination, is to have Joseph's statement there, for I am in the place of God. God is in control. So you remember that tonight, and you realize that as you go through life and you face issues in life, God is in control. That's just a simple message, but it will make your life better if you really believe that. It'll keep you from taking mind-controlling drugs. It'll keep you from worry. It'll keep you from, undue pressure on people around you about worrying about the future. God is in control. So today, on May 16th, 2025, and Sunday night when we take nominations, God is in control. Remember that, brethren. God is in control, and he's sovereign. And the other one is found in verse 20. But as for me, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. God meant it unto good. The second principle is this: God is good. God is in control, and God is good. And if you believe that, you're good. You're good. Now, you think about how this played out in Joseph's life. You know the story of Joseph. How Joseph, you know, he was drug off He was dragged off by the Midianites. You know, he was thrown in a pit and by his own brothers. And I believe as he sat there and he looked out the top of that pit, he could just see the sun above him, the blue sky. And he looked at the top of the pit. And I think he said, God is good and God is in control. And when he was unjustly accused and thrown into jail in a dark, dungy jail cell, and he looked out and he saw that little window up there, and he was sitting there in jail with no end in sight, he said, God is good and God is in control. So tonight, that'll make your life like your life better. You know, I was traveling in Interstate 80 last summer one day, and all of a sudden we were going 75, and I was in the passing lane, and about 75, and I was in the passing lane, and all of a sudden something just boom, just hit us in the back of the. In the back of our van, and our van started going sideways, and we was going all over the place. And the truck, 3/4-ton Chevy pickup, came, hit us in the back, bent our fender in, came a sliding up along the left side, along the berm, all the way to the front. And I looked over there, and the guy was sitting over there about 3 feet away from me and going right past me and mashing our van in the whole time. And the van started going this way and that way, and we ended up fine. We had our seatbelts on, but you know, I thought about that so many times since then, that I was totally out of control. There was nothing that I could do. There was nothing that I could do to bring that van under control, and I was totally out of control. So tonight, God is in control. God is in control. So when we become Christians, we say, Lord, here am I. Lord, here am I. And that is what we need. But we need lordship more than just lip service lordship. We need to have a commitment to the lordship of God. And that he is master, he's sovereign over our lives, he's sovereign over this congregation, he's sovereign over the world. And so tonight, when God says, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, remember those two. God is in control. And God is good. And when God says in verses 12 and 14, I will be with thee. I will be with thee. Remember, it's a God that has sovereign control over the whole world and that has chosen you before the foundation of the earth. Of the world, like he said over in Jeremiah, that he has chosen you before the foundation of the world to be a prophet. And so I would say, brethren, rest in God's lordship, God's sovereignty. Number two, send, I pray thee. I agree with the need to send. I agree that we do need a bishop. I agree that, yeah, I agree with that. And that there is a cause. There is a cause. Do you believe in the cause? That is the question. Cause something that you're willing to die for, you're willing to sacrifice for. I once read the story of a book about a Japanese soldier that in World War II, he was sent to some island out in the Pacific, and he was commissioned to defend that island by the general in the Japanese army in the World War II. And he was out there defending that island for, you know, all that he had. He was carrying his rifle around, and he was, you know, he was defending that island. In 1973, from 1945, I believe, until 1973, he defended that island long after the truce was signed with Japan and so forth. He hadn't heard about that. And so he was out there defending the island. And finally they had tried to convince him to stop, and the war was over and the truce was signed, and everything was, you know, You should just come back. And he said, I will not come back until my commander tells me to, personally tells me to. And so in 1973, what is that, 30 years after the war was over, his commander made it out there and said, you know, lay down your arms. And he then laid his backpack down. He put his machine gun on the backpack. And he said, it's over. It's over. That's the kind of cause. That's the kind of commitment that we need, that God can use. Are you willing to commit to the cause? And by the way, it says in the New Testament that all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. All power today, the cause of the kingdom is right here in man. All power is given unto me, the same power that Moses was talking about. Certainly, I will be with thee. The cause is great, dear ones. The cause is great to deliver this world from their sins. And the interesting thing is, and I said it before, I'll say it again, that God uses the likes of Joe Weaver and Sim Yoder, just farmers from Georgia and Ohio. That's what he uses. Fishermen, Peter. I believe Peter had sunburnt forehead. I believe he had rope burns on his hands from fishing, and God used him in a mighty way. The cause is worldwide. Today, that gives hope to every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. It is the best social program that the world has ever seen. It takes care of the escalating divorce rate that affects 50% of the marriages. It takes care of homelessness. It takes care of fatherless homes, violence on the streets. It has changed more lives for good than any other social program in any country throughout history of the world. The gospel even eradicates the fear of death without medication, no medical procedure, and no therapy can do that. And that's the gospel. That is our cause. That is our cause. It'll cause people to go the second mile. And of all things, it'll cause people to love their enemies. Return good for evil. And even to love those that hate you. That's our gospel. Imagine what kind of a world we would live in if we had that kind of a... We had dedication. We had people committed to the cause. Dear ones, tonight, the cause is there. We agree there is a need. We understand the scriptures from Matthew that said all power is given unto us in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore. We have a special calling, folks. Third point in the message tonight is, I'll just say it this way. Please send someone else. Please send someone else. No, just not me. Why? When we have the cause, we know the cause. We know we have a concept of the sovereignty of God. Moses reasoning. We're going to look at that now. Verse 11 of chapter 3 says, "Who am I? Who am I?" Moses said, "I'm just not good enough. I'm not good enough. I am inadequate. Can't do it." You know, 40 years ago, I tried to deliver my people, and I got my attempts, deliverance didn't work. I had to go out in the backside of the desert for 40 years. I ask you tonight, the personal failures and lack of good judgment, they haunt us, don't it? My lack of good judgment has haunted me many times. Remember this, though. You are either serving one sovereign or another. And that is serving Joe Weaver's sovereign, or serving the sovereign God of the universe that gives all power. I'm inadequate. Sure I am. But God gives me my adequacy. Oh, I like the verses so well in Isaiah 55. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God has so much more of a concept of our cause than we do. We cannot say, honestly, I am inadequate. We need to rest in God's willingness and God's sovereignty and His enabling. He said, "Go ye therefore." Jeremiah says that, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God has the best for you in His mind. So when He calls and you brethren see the white slip here in the Bible, just say, God is good. God is in control. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm so inadequate. But God, You are. The second thing I have for the question Moses had is found in chapter 3, verse 13. What is His name? The children of Israel are going to say to me, what is His name? You know, what is His name? What shall I say unto them? What shall I say unto them? You know, like they're saying, Moses, what do you know anyways? And the God of your fathers, God said, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is His name? What shall I say unto them? And you like a lot of us have imaginations, we can see people. You know, Joe Weaver said it. Come on, you know better than that. What is God's name? What shall I say unto Him? What you say, Moses, what do you know? You can see them saying, sneering, big deal. How does what you say stand against the reality of Pharaoh's army anyways? I don't have all the answers. I'm not smart enough, but I know a God that is. And He's asked me to lead the people out of Egypt. Number 3. Found in chapter 4, verse 1. Says that they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, people. They will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice. They won't take me seriously. People won't believe me. The Lord hath not appeared unto you. You're asserting yourself. That's what the people were saying in Exodus 4. The Lord hath not appeared unto you. And God said to Moses, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? And he said, a rod. I imagine that rod was 4 feet long and just a piece of wood. He chased sheep with it for 40 years. Nothing special. He might have chased the wolf away. He might have killed some snakes. Not sure. But he had this rod in his hand. A simple shepherd's rod, just a piece of wood. And God said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a snake. And Moses fled from before it. I would too. I hate snakes. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take by the tail. That would have taken some real faith. And he put forth his hand and caught it and became a rod in his hand again. Why? That they may believe that the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. I can take a rod, a simple shepherd's rod, and I can make it a snake. And when you pick it back up again, it becomes a rod again. See, Moses? See what I can do? Even if the people are making fun of you, and they're saying, don't take him seriously, I can do this. And it goes on, and he puts his hand into his bosom and says, listen, the sovereign God of the universe, that when you say Lord, he can do anything with your faltering mouth or your unlearned tongue. The next one is in verse 10, chapter 4. O Lord, I am not eloquent. I'm a terrible public speaker. I am not good with words or articulate. You know, it could be that, you know, I believe that Moses, when he was back in the palace, he knew how to talk. He was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and so forth. But 40 years out there in the backside of the wilderness, talking only to sheep, maybe to his family, he wasn't very articulate anymore. And God said in verse 11, who hath made your mouth? Who maketh the dumb to speak? Or the deaf to hear? Or the seeing of the blind? Have I, not I, the Lord? Now therefore, I will go, the sovereign master of the universe. I will go with thy mouth. I will teach thee what thou shalt say. God is good, and God is in control. He will control your life. And my calling to you is to be committed to the cause, and I will take care of the rest, is what he's saying. And then finally, in verse 13, he said, O my Lord, I pray thee, by the hand of him thou wilt send, please, anyone but me. The real problem was, through all these excuses, that he just plain didn't want to. Well, what was he saying when he said, I don't want to? Well, you have denied my lordship. I am the Almighty One. I can take snakes and turn them into rods, and I can take rods and turn them into snakes. I can put my hand, you can put your hand in your bosom, and it comes out leprous. When I pull it out, it's healed flesh. Verse 17. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. I'm anointing you, Moses, that you can do what I'm asking you to do. And the amazing thing is that when he went into Pharaoh and he had his rod with him, and you know, there was all kinds of miraculous things done. Blood in the Nile. Lice. Can we really say that God is not with us and that God is not sovereign? Can we really say, send someone else? Common men do uncommon things when they do it God's way. Common ladies. You know, you might only have the broom in your hand. You might have the dish rag in your hand, and you might be washing diapers. But if you're committed to the cause of God's lordship, and that's where He calls you to be, He enables you to do it. Tonight, I'm so thankful that if it would be up to me and my abilities, woe is me. Can we say, send someone else? No, we can't say, send someone else. We can say, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. I am going to go and I'm going to serve you with what I got. And God, you'll have to do the rest. Common men can do uncommon things with God's rod. The interesting thing is that from nearly at the end of this chapter, why the rod was called the rod of God. And the rod of God is what was stretched out over the Red Sea, or over the Red Sea, and Egypt, Pharaoh's army was thundering behind. And God, Moses said calmly as he held that rod up, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God can do wonderful things. He can take normal men. He can take the average. He can take the somewhat rebellious, like Moses was, and work with them. And he can accomplish his purposes because the rod of God is God's anointing, God's power. You have it tonight. You have it tonight. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and be a bishop at Dublin, Georgia, or go to Honduras, or go to Bangladesh, or go to Liberia, go to teach school, dry clothes, whatever. God is in control and He has all power. Let's pray.